here. And notice this evening, beginning there in verse 22, the Bible says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Amen. By the word of God, let's pray. Lord, give us your presence. I pray the Holy Ghost would take the word and apply it to our hearts this evening and change us through its power. We just love you and thank you for this opportunity. May we leave truly changed. And Lord, saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Meet with us now. May our Savior be magnified. And it's in His name that we ask these things. Amen. So remember, we're going to go through suffering. And as we do, what does God want us to do there in verse 22? But unfeigned love of the brethren. Unfeigned means not fake. It means real. With a pure heart, fervently. Now, we're going to look at more of this later as we get into 1 Peter. But the Bible says that one of the natural things that happens when we get saved, the Bible says in 1 John 3:14, by this you'll know that I'm quoting it wrong. Anyway, it says that we know we're saved because we have a love for the brethren in 1 John 3:14. And that naturally happens. And God wants that love to be real and genuine. Between who? Those that are born again by the blood and the word of God. Now, isn't it interesting that in both of these passages, notice in verse 18, he said, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. And then he goes on to say here in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. So in both of these, he's talking about things that are incorruptible, things that are pure and perfect, the blood and the word. Both of them from Jesus. Jesus is the word. And we see God now sharing with us some of these amazing truths about the word. And the first one is here in verse 23 that the word of God saves us. Now, a lot of people don't understand or realize this. But that's what he says, being born again by the Word of God. The Word of God has to be involved for a person to get saved. The gospel of Jesus Christ must be given. And it's the Word of God that has the power to save. That's why it's so important that we give it out. And we'll talk more about its power in a little bit. But the Bible tells us, notice James chapter 1 if you would, over to the left, one book, verse 18, that the Word of God itself has the power to save God's people. Notice James 1:18. Of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So notice it says, He begat us with the Word. The Word of God saves. There's no other book in the universe that has the power to save souls from hell. But this book does. God's Word. And praise the Lord for the power of the Word of God. You know, I believe that's what Jesus was talking about in John 3:3. Let's turn back there. When He was talking about being born again. And talks about the water. A lot of people think the water might represent the amniotic sac. And that's okay if you want to believe that. But it says here in John 3, Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to say, on down in the passage, verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then he talks about flesh is flesh and spirit is spirit. The water there could very easily represent the Word of God because the Bible says in Ephesians 5:26, the washing of the water by the Word. Many times God likens water to the Word because of its cleansing power. Either way, It's talking here about being born again, being a new creature. 1 Peter 1:23, born again by the Word of God. And of course, we're told, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Right? 2 Corinthians 5:17. So, the first thing we see about the Word tonight is that it saves. It makes us a new creature. We're born again through the Word. The second thing we see about the Word of God, verse 23 of our passage, is it's incorruptible. Praise God. There's nothing else on this earth that God says that about. Everything here that you see is going to burn up. It's all going to burn up, but the Word of God is incorruptible. Now, we saw that the blood of Jesus Christ is incorruptible. The Word of God is incorruptible as well. Go back to Psalm 12, passage most of you are very familiar with, where God promised that He would preserve His Word. He also told us in Proverbs 30 that it's pure. But Psalm 12, very well-known passage about the preservation of God's Word, verse 6. Most of you probably know it by heart. The words of the Lord are pure words. So there it is. That's the incorruptible Word of God. It's pure. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. So we can confidently say we are holding in our hands the incorruptible Word of God. Praise the Lord. Now, the devil tries, doesn't he? Starting in the Garden of Eden. Yea, hath God said, and he hasn't stopped since. And now he tries all these different methods. His latest, of course, is now there's over 200 English versions that come out with how many per year? Just trying to corrupt the Word of God. Well, we have the incorruptible Word of God. We can trust it. We're holding it in our hands. God's given it to us. He's preserved it for us. This 400-year-old Bible, it's the right one. Amen? And it is incorruptible. So it saves. It's incorruptible. Now look what he says. Verse 23, 1 Peter 1, which liveth. So there's no other book in the universe where God says that it's perfect and pure and incorruptible and saves souls. And there's also no other book that God says is actually alive. There's no other thing like it on this earth. And most of us know Hebrews 4:12. What does it say? For the Word of God is... anybody know that next word?
Quick.
Quick means alive. Now, when we're quoting that verse, we often just fly over that word, don't we? For the Word of God is quick and powerful. Because we're in a hurry to get to that word powerful, because it is powerful. But it's quick. It's alive. It's a living book. It has the power to change people. It has the power to save, and it has the power to change us. What other book does God say has the power to divide asunder between soul and spirit? What other book has the power to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart? Only the Word of God. So this book is not only saved, it's not only incorruptible, but as God says here, it is alive. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, very first verse of 1 John. And of course, John likes to interchange the written Word and the living Word, Jesus, because they are the one and the same. Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Jesus. And notice 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the Word of life. Life. Now he's referring, he's got a double meaning embedded in that verse, doesn't he? He says, we've handled it, we've seen it with our eyes. He's talking about Jesus. Because John physically saw Jesus and touched Jesus, but he's also talking about the Word of life, because Jesus is the Word of life. But it's the Word that's alive, that gives life, that makes us new creatures. So the Word of God, as we see in this passage, this incorruptible Word, has the power to save souls. It's incorruptible, it's alive, and then look what he says in verse 23, eternal. Now, we mentioned this in Psalm 12 already, but this book lasts forever. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Think about what he said there. The earth's going to burn up. Heaven's going to burn up. The word of God lives forever. That's a pretty amazing statement when you think about it. Isaiah said in Isaiah 48, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Lord endureth forever. And of course, Peter said it here in verse 25, didn't he? In our passage. He says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. So, praise God. The word of the Lord endures forever. So we see here that the word, the incorruptible word of God, saves us. It is pure, perfect, it's incorruptible, it's alive, and it will last forever. That's what has the power to save us. And that's why it's so important that that's what we give out. You know, when we go out to witness to people, yes, we need to have a basic outline in our heads and we need to try to witness to them where they are, but we need to do our best to get the word to them. Because our speaking ability and our personality isn't what has the power to save. But this does. So the more of this we can get to them, the more the Holy Spirit has to be used to work in their hearts. And it's the same for us. If we really believe this is where the power is, then that's where we need to be every morning. Amen? That's what we need to be meditating in. That's what we need to be memorizing. That's what we need to be studying. And when we go to church, that's what we need to be teaching and preaching, is this. Not other stuff, illustrations and whatever, rabbit trails and stories. This, only this has the power to save of all things. And of course, to divide asunder of soul and spirit, to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart, the Word of God has that power. So Peter then drives the point home after talking about the eternal Word of God by saying in verse 24, all flesh is as grass. In comparison to the Word of God, our bodies are just something here that's very temporary. And all the glory of man as the flower. He's not just talking about the grass, but that short little time when the grass flowers. The flower of grass. Just here for a short time, and then, as he says, the grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. Our days on earth are considered very short by the Lord compared to eternity, because they are. When we get to heaven, and after we've spent our first 1,000,000 years, the whatever years we spent here are going to seem like nothing. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And that's the way it'll be. David said, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth in Psalm 39:5. Short time. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, right? Proverbs 27:1, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Our lives are short. That's why we need to get saved. That's why we need to serve the Lord. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Our bodies won't last. We get a new one someday. But the word lasts. And he says, verse 25, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The gospel is in here. And people need the gospel to be saved. Paul talked about the gospel. Go to Romans chapter 1. And he said that he felt he had a debt. And that debt was to get the gospel out. Notice Romans 1:14. I am a debtor, both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, both to the wise, the unwise. Verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. That's that same word Peter used. It means good news. It only comes from one place, and that is the perfect, powerful, incorruptible Word of God. He says, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So there it is again. Where's the power? It's in the gospel. Where's the gospel? It's in the Word. That's what has the power to save. So people need the gospel, the Word of God, that endureth forever, that's incorruptible, that's powerful. And aren't we just so blessed that we have a copy of it? You realize how many people in the world still don't have a copy of the Word of God in their own language? It's just amazing. And most of us have multiple copies in our home. We should be in it every day, because that's where the power is. By the Word of God. Thank the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you.